Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John. I'm the nerdy.
And I'm Britt.
She's the beautiful. And welcome to another episode of our podcast. Today, we're counting down the top five each of 2024. Rules on the table. First of all, every game here has to have been played the most of your life here in 2024. That prevents stuff from, like, stuff that I have played before, like Pokemon Scarlet. I did a ridiculous amount of hours, right. But...
And, like, me, I've played, like, Genshin Impact, but...
Yeah. We try to remove stuff that we've always played, because if not, Minecraft would top it forever.
Right.
Because I'm a big...
I love Minecraft.
I'm a big guy on that. I'm developing a mod that takes me so many hours of testing. Secondly, and a bit more importantly, this doesn't have to be games from 2024 themselves that were released here. I'm fairly sure there's two on my list that are, just because they kind of are. And there's one on Brittany's that I'm a little bit shaky on the release date. So, with all that being said, we're going to start on Britzy's side, go back and forth, and continue until we get to the end. And then we might be able to talk about honorable mentions, if we have any. So, let's go ahead and, you know, mosey on over. First one is Cozy Grove. Now, this is a bit of a surprise pick. I didn't even know you'd... actually tried to interact with it before. So what do you think about it? I mean, first of all, great pick, Cozy Grove. If you guys don't know, it is a cozy game in which you are helping haunted animals
find things.
You know, you're kind of improving the community. Think of it like Stardew Valley, that is hand-drawn, a little bit more Tim Burton-esque.
Right, you're helping the animals, and then they'll give you something that you take back to this fire to ignite him a little more.
Yeah, and I believe you are trying to restore color to their island. So it's a very beautiful,
and
fun
one.
Kind of reminds me of Chicory in that way.
I love it. It's really fun.
I can't wait to play Chicory. I watched a trailer of that, and... I can't put that anywhere in this episode because I haven't played it. My number five is Super Mario Wonder. Super Mario Wonder has a little more to say. So, this one I didn't get to play a lot, but however, what I saw has been amazing. It's been incredible. And most of my game time is here in 2024. But I've only gotten about halfway through the game, sadly.
I've watched you play it. It looks like fun. I love that game.
I don't know much about this thing. It's been since, like, March, I think, since I played it. So it's sadly not got a lot of time even now. But I've seen some creative gameplay. There's roller skating Koopas. There's singing piranha plants. The Wonder Seed, I really hope they come back to this for a 2 someday, but not soon. Not soon. I want this to stay unique to itself. I think this is one of the most exciting Mario games in a very long time. And, I mean, look, I love Odyssey. I really do. But this is my favorite Mario game at the moment, is Mario Wonder. It's a bold statement, but I think it's better than Odyssey because... it takes what was all best about Mario 2D, which I kind of prefer sometimes. Ask me this later and I'm probably going to swap them out. But Mario Odyssey can't be on this list, obviously due to the fact that I have played it mostly in other years. Number four for Britzy is Slime Rancher. Slime Rancher,
I absolutely
God.
Love that game. Like, you literally go around with, like, this vacuum-styled, like, gun and collect these slimes and then put them into this, like, cagey thing.
Oh, man. And it's kind of cool because you can breed slimes. You can...
I love it.
...explore big. Its combat feels good.
Right.
And I think it's actually just one of those cozy games. It's a little less self-explanatory than some, I will say, but really,
right.
I feel like everyone should try to play this game.
I feel like
Slime
this
Rancher's
would be one
great.
That, like, anybody could enjoy.
Oh, yeah. anybody who is a gamer will find something here. This is the first one I can recommend to all audiences. Mm-hmm. But whether you like it or not is subjective. I think my favorite thing is its graphics. It's kind of almost cel-shaded, but it looks a little deeper than that. Oh no. Mm-hmm. It looks very unique compared to some. Number four for me goes to Pokemon TCG Pocket. To be honest, this one did come out in 2024, and having a phone game here is weird.
I love that one.
It's so weird for me to have a mobile game. I hate mobile games. Everyone knows it that is around me. But why is that? It's simple, because I just don't really enjoy it. I want a controller, and this does not.
I like this game, though.
However, I will say, the reason it's here is because of just how much fun it is to open the packs. It feels like opening Pokemon cards. You get one or two a day, depending
on a few things. Right. It's basically just a virtual card game.
And I will say this. For those of you who would think it would be sort of a pay-to-win thing, believe it or not, if you do the missions, they give you a lot more cards than promised. Like, it is so easy to get bonus packs here. I think it's a very, very fair price if you really wanted to, like, sink in a buck to get a few more. Like, it's all pretty fair. It's pretty across the board. It's like Pokemon Go, but with the cards. If you love Pokemon for the card aspect, do not pass on this. I think it's actually the best incarnation of the trading card game we've got, because I'm a collector. I haven't got to play a lot of the game itself in terms of actually battling CPUs or, you know, actually playing the card game. But as a collector, it's excellent. There's some pretty cool little card effects. Some of the cards jump off of themselves, letting you see behind the Pokemon, and I don't know. It's very, very fun little thing. I don't know how long it'll stay up here in my brain as a favorite, because, to be honest, it is still a mobile game. But hey, credit to you, and screw you for making me put a freaking Pokemon TCG Pocket app onto this list. This next one is so unshocking to me, and that is Zombie Army Trilogy.
I love this one. Brittany's number three. So there's a campaign mode, and a zombie horde mode. Yep. And I love the zombie horde mode.
And it's exactly what it sounds like. You guys know what zombie shooters are. It's a first-person zombie shooter.
And I love it.
If you guys liked the Call of Duty zombie formula, this is the closest you're going to get on a Switch, to
it's
be
awesome.
Honest. There is better zombie stuff on PC, but if you're a little light on options, this goes on sale all the time.
It's really good, too.
Yep. In fact, I've messed around with it. I gotta say that I'm a little hard to please on shooters. And even I think it's got some solid controls.
I mean, I'm really hard to please when it comes to shooters, because, I mean, it's got to be good at, like, aiming, and the shooting mechanism has got to be good.
Yeah. Everything feels tight here. And to be honest, that made it seem like a very odd thing to be, like, congratulating it for. Me and Brits have played a lot of random zombie shooters looking to find her one that she likes. And trust me,
it's been hard.
It's been harder than you'd think on the Switch. So if you guys have any other zombie shooters in mind, please, please, please reach out to us. We're still kind of looking.
Because I'm still trying to get that quality that Call of Duty Zombies has.
Yeah. We love, obviously this game's on here for a reason, but it's still not quite up to scratch with what we're looking for. So that's all we'll say here. Great game.
And check it out.
Wow. Number three is Fido's Magic Tiles.
I was going to say, for his list, the third one I know nothing about, so he'll be the one probably talking most about this.
Yep, and to be honest, a lot of you probably do not know what this is, but need to. If you are a Game Boy enthusiast, which I am a massive one. I love the Game Boy. It is my second favorite console right behind the Switch. Sadly, Switch takes the cake very easily.
Right.
And we might actually do some kind of 10-year anniversary of the Switch someday once we get there in 2027. But we even might do a Switch episode soon, to be honest, since we need the idea Ben to be so full all the time.
Yeah.
To be completely serious, Fido's Magic Tiles is a game from itch.io created by Malamute. I love this so much, I actually got a physical version of it, and it's a beautiful one. Fido's Magic Tiles is literally, if you've ever played Panel de Pon, then you know exactly what you're getting into. But most people here in America wouldn't know it as Panel de Pon. You would know it as that Yoshi puzzler from Super Nintendo, Pokemon Puzzle League on Nintendo 64. You know, you'd remember it for stuff like that. That's what it is. You just shift three or four tiles into a row. I think this one you can get up to six. And that's kind of just it. I think it's four. That's it. Once you line up four, they disappear. You get points. You continue. The difference is here, you can actually beat this, and I have. Honestly, I have no explanation why the graphics, the aesthetics, this one all came in with its presentation to put it at number three, if that tells you how much I like its aesthetics. So, sadly, just look it up, really actually play it. Malamute, I absolutely love you. And thank you for all the hours upon hours of fun. I can't believe I've played this for over 60 hours by my own log system. Brit's number two, Little Dragon's Cafe.
And this is one we both have played.
Yep. Now, I played this back whenever it came out, and I am a massive fan. It's like Harvest Moon, except you're only running a little cafe, there's only a few NPCs and stuff, and other than that, you're raising a dragon. Care to elaborate a bit?
I mean, there's not much to say about this one other than you collect things and you raise a dragon. Oh, and you work at a cafe.
Yep.
Because your mom is sick and you have to raise the dragon so that she can recover. So, I mean, that's about all.
It's at this point in this episode, I should probably also mention, a lot of these games are way better than we're making them sound. The only problem is that we really can't describe them. They're too simple, a lot of these, to describe in a more elegant way.
All I can say is just go ahead and try them. I mean, you might actually end up liking them.
Yeah, we're not here to review games, we're here to vote on them. And trying to talk about controls and stuff and all that, that's all we can practically do. All of these have controlled well, or else they wouldn't have been here.
Even on the list.
Even on the list. And that's kind of what sucks about this format and why we only do it once a year. Game lists are kind of just not the greatest concept. But I do love doing this wish listy or top X type stuff. It's just always so much fun. That being said, we're moving on to what I consider the best stuff of this year. Mm-hmm. From here on out, I'm actually going to have a lot to say about all three games, whether it be my last two or Brittany's one. To be honest, I got a lot to say. Number two on my list is Stardew Valley. Now, remember that I have played this game so much.
Same. I put so many hours into this game.
Stupid amount of hours.
I even put some more hours to do the JoJo route.
However, once I calculate how much I've played in 2024... That's not what really gets it on this list. Even though most of my game time here is in 2024, The thing that makes it actually a lot better and why it's number two is because I've been playing multiplayer with Brits and experiencing the stuff from 1.5 and 1.6 because I missed 1.5.
Right.
The content is out of control. There is so much that has been added. If you have not come back to Stardew Valley last year, I can tell you something. The valley is gorgeous. It has so much new stuff to do.
And since this wouldn't be a spoiler, I can actually tell you guys something. You can put hats on dogs and cats now.
Yep. And notice that she put an S after those. That is because you can adopt additional animals to be your pets. Mm-hmm. You can now move the starter house. There's a lot of stuff that you can do that you could never do before.
You can also paint barns.
You can paint some barns, coops. There's a lot of new stuff that could not be done before, and mm-hmm. it sends this game over the top yet again. Eric Barone, Concerned Ape. Let me tell you something. I absolutely love his work, and there is a reason that
He's so good at what he does.
So high on my mm-hmm. list. Remember, I played this from, like, the release of 1.3 Stardew Valley and have consistently come back to it and cannot leave it alone. And somehow, most of my playtime is here in this year, if that tells you anything about how good this is. The multiplayer, get people together and make a big community farm. I absolutely love having people. I can't imagine what an 8-person farm would be like, especially if everyone was being super efficient and all that. I could imagine getting a million in like half a year if you get enough people.
Same.
Like, it's so good. It's so good. But that's all I can say about it. The most notable thing from this is that there's actually a new type of farm that gives you a completely different challenge, in which you start with a coop and hay instead of your standard parsnip mm-hmm. seeds. It was actually the one that I played multiplayer with Britzy, and it has been a treat. I've even actually gotten awesome. A little further in it than I did on my personal file. So go play, go play, go play.
And I've been helping him with his personal file too.
It's been absolutely excellent. Number one on Brits, I'm going to be honest.
Is one of the best.
Curious. How did this get to your number one? Like, it's a great game. It is a good game.
That's why it became my number one. It's one of my favorites now.
Bear and Breakfast.
So basically, you're a bear that is running a bed and breakfast for humans, but it's called a bear and breakfast because you're a bear.
Yep. It is built on the foundation of a abandoned, like, shack, I think it was.
Yeah, it was abandoned shack.
And essentially, you see this little robot shark, I believe it was,
that was
dropped off by humans.
And when you talk to him, he asks if you want to make a bear and breakfast, basically.
Yep. And doing so, you can actually make money. It is yet another cafe sim. But let me tell you, this one has adorable art. It has hilarious, hilarious dialogue. I actually, like, fully was laughing, Britt showing me some of the stuff there.
I love it.
I did do a first play of this over on Twitch, and I sadly have not come back to it. I'm actually glad to see this actually made Brit's list because I thought it looked so good.
I love it because it's so fun. Like, I still have it in my console right now.
You've been biting down on, huh? So that's excellent. That's absolutely
excellent.
Like,
I haven't took it out since you bought it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because you would have no reason because Stardew is digital for you. That's right. Yeah. Honestly, there's not much more to say. Its humor was amazing.
It's awesome. I can't really give any more away, though, without giving away. Oh, I don't want to be a spoiler.
Yep. Moving on to my number one. Now, my number one, and we'll actually get into a little bit of honorable mentions on our side if Britt has any. I got some, though, for sure. So you'll be getting some from me for sure. I gotta say, is Balatro. Says the shock of nobody. Balatro, I absolutely think it is one of the most hypnotic card games of all time.
And John knows more about this one than I do, because I haven't played it.
Yeah. But as you've looked over my shoulder, I think you can agree that it's much like just a standard poker game. But what's the deal? Because this poker game goes so far off the rails in the realm of video games, I've always liked card games being in video games more due to the lack of cleanup, due to the lack of problems surrounding trying to keep your decks nice. And Balatro knows it's a video game. It has jokers that will affect how your actual selected hand plays. So you start with a pretty big hand and have to make a hand out of the bigger one that would be good for poker. It scores like poker, except you can get multipliers of all sorts. There's over 150 jokers that all do something different to make your hand stronger. And the idea is to exploit all these multipliers and effects to where you can beat the game or see how far you can get into an endless mode. There are different colors of starter decks that all change the game profusely. It is infinite. It is fun. And to be honest, it's great. Even on mobile. So I've played a lot of the mobile and the Switch version, so I guess that's another mobile game on my top 2024. I'm pretty mad about that, actually. I'm pretty mad there's one in the number one spot, but tip my hat, because by God, everything is practically perfect. This is my favorite card game of all time when it comes to video games, and there's a good reason for it. I think it actually won Game of the Year, and absolutely, it deserves every bit of praise it has. Let's move on to some honorable mentions. Cult of the Lamb. This one I didn't get to play as much this year, or else it would have gotten a lot higher. It probably would have taken TCG Pocket's place and removed TCG Pocket off the list entirely, and pretty much that's because this game is pretty fun, the combat's snappy, but unfortunately could not be on the list. Britt, do you have anything?
Not really.
Well, ladies and gents,
I can think of.
I hope you guys have enjoyed our best of 2024. We tried to get this out so much sooner, but unfortunately we had a bit of an issue with that. So, either way, my name has been John.
And I've been Britt.
She has been the beautiful.
He has been the nerdy.
And we will
see you on the next podcast.
We're so bad at outros.